KXFMradio.org.
Straight up at 9 o'clock, it's the Mornings with Ed show. And when you open a restaurant or a clothing store in a community, you expect that they currently have other restaurants or other clothing stores in that community. Some successful, some not so successful. But in a town like this, in a town like Laguna Beach, there's at least a formula for success. You may even be able to open that restaurant or your clothing store in a space that's already structured to house a business like that. Our guest this morning took an idea that had never been tried here without any track record of success or failure, without any previous infrastructure to lean on. And 9 years later, Laguna Beach and our 24,000 residents have a source of instant and timely information 24/7. And listeners not only here, but across the globe have found a home for a variety of choices of eclectic entertainment. Joining us for the conversation this morning, the founder of KXFM, Tyler Russell.
Well, I definitely can't say it better than that, so I'm just going to go. That was well put.
Thank you. Well, welcome this morning. Glad to have you here, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been on the radio. I mean, I haven't even put on pants in a year, but I also haven't been on the air, much less with you at all during COVID. You've been isolated in here, right, so it's nice to see you and be behind the mic.
I removed the tree trunk from the door to allow him to block the door.
Ed has been more locked down than you can possibly imagine, but we're finally allowing a few people into the building.
Yes, yeah. I noticed some people walk through here the other day, and I came out from my cave, I grunted at them, and I came back in here. Well, welcome, first of all. Thank you for being here, and happy 9 years.
Thank you. Yeah, going on 9 or going on 10?
I think
this year is 9.
Yeah,
I guess next year would be 10.
Yeah, it was a 2012 opening, right? 2012, hard open, cold open, as we say. Has it gone by fast, or does it seem like it's taken a long time to get to a 9-year mark?
Simultaneously, both. Yeah, both things. Right. It feels like I can blink my eyes, and I remember being on the roof with my dad with our first antenna, you know, moving it around the roof. And then we would both get in our cars and he'd drive north and I'd drive south and we'd see how it would work. And then we'd come back and we'd move it a few inches. I can remember that like it was yesterday. And then simultaneously, it feels like a lifetime ago, you know? Right. So yeah, both things.
So when you were doing that antenna movement and getting into the car driving opposite directions, how many hours a day were you putting in?
Well, I had just quit my job in real radio to come launch this station. And so I was really, you know, to be honest, slowly working my way toward this. I mean, after I quit my job there, it was probably another year before we really opened the doors here. Right. I traveled a little bit. I went to Japan for a month. And I just kind of was like, I was like, the only time in my life I figured, you know what, before I go full steam ahead on this thing, I'll take it slow. So it took us a while to get it open. It took longer to get Laguna Beach city approval than it took to get federal government FCC approval, which I love telling people because it's a good indicator of what it takes to open anything in Laguna.
Right. How many times back and forth? Just several times back and forth with the city?
This had never happened.
Right.
Right. There's something in the code to open just about anything, like you'd mentioned, but certainly not a radio station. And there had been a few pirate radio stations in Laguna Beach over the years.
Right.
There was one above the White House restaurant back in the day. Somebody literally did it on a boat for a while. Right. There's a few other rumored locations that there were, but no one had ever officially opened one. So we had to get a variance on the height of the building. We had to get a variance on our CUP, our conditional use permit, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I'll tell one brief story about this. When we went in front of Planning Commission to get our ultimate approval, we were on the consent calendar, which if you follow city meetings, that's a very good thing. That typically means you just get pushed right along and you get opened.
Right.
Unless somebody pulls it from the consent calendar. So we're all there just crossing our fingers that's not going to happen. And sure enough, Rob Zerschmid, who is a planning commissioner at the time, pulls the item. And I was like, oh no, here we go. And I had never been to a city meeting before at this point. I'm new to this. And he pulls it only to bring me up to the dais and say, will you play any Steppenwolf on your new station? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
Why not? And he goes, all right, I vote yes. And that was why he pulled it.
There you go.
And we did. There the first go. Day.
I would have started air guitaring Born to Be Wild for him right there, man. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely sure, Rob. So if you were speaking to a group of college students in a broadcast or journalism class right now, would this be something you'd recommend them to do it your way? Would you recommend this route for them?
I just make it clear, and I do speak to college classes on occasion. I make it clear to them that they need to choose. I make it clear that they can't do both. I don't knock going down the corporate radio route, right, if that's what they want to do, but I explain to them what that is, and I explain to them what our thing is. I've been watching a lot of Sopranos. Our thing.
Yeah.
Our thing is community. It's independent. It's nonprofit. It might not make you a lot of money, right, but it probably has job security, because you can pretty much know what your annual budget is for the most part. You don't live and die by advertising like corporate radio does. But the other thing might make you a lot more famous, and you might have a lot more listeners, but you might hate your day. Right. So it's like, you know, which one do you want? I just make it clear.
Right. And it's beautiful that you do, because there is a clear difference. And I would just a quick left turn here. How deep are you into The Sopranos? What season are you in right now?
I just started season 5.
Okay. Oh, it's the meat. You're in the meat. Yeah. It's just going to get way better from here.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. You're digging it. That's good. So you started, like most of us, with crappy part-time shifts at established radio stations.
Right.
And moving, it's like Frogger when you move from station to station and from position to position for better shifts and bigger audiences. What about these experiences in established stations made you think radio needs to be different, and my concept of it is different, and this KXFM is what I want?
Yeah, there's a story I like to tell that was kind of my pivotal moment that helped me figure that out. And I was fairly new to doing nights in Palm Springs on 93.7 KCLB. I was maybe 3 months into my job. Thinking that had been my dream, that's what I wanted to do for many years. And at about 11:30 at night, before the end of my shift, this younger girl called in, maybe 17-year-old girl. She was crying because her boyfriend had just broken up with her. And there was a particular song she wanted to hear. It was an active rock station, so the band she wanted to hear was called Seether. She wanted to hear a song by Seether. Okay. And I looked in our computer, and we had it. And so I put it on for her, and I played a little bit of her call. And I said, you know, this is what radio is for. Like, here you go, right, young, heartbroken girl. And the next morning, my program director called me into the office and said, hey, what was this song you played last night at 11:30? I was like, oh, it was Seether. The girl called in. She got broken up with. She's like, yeah, don't do that. Don't deviate from the playlist.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean don't deviate from the playlist? What do you want me to have told her? Like, no.
Right.
You know, we had the song. It's not like she requested Dean Martin or something like that. It was in format.
Right.
And she said, yeah, well, we painstakingly create the playlist because our consultants and statistics and surveys tell us that's what they want to hear. So don't deviate. And I was in that building another year and a half, remembering that moment the whole time, thinking this is backwards.
Right.
And just slowly working my way out of corporate into freedom of radio.
My God. See, I don't know if that's exactly what I'm talking about here. So I don't know if you heard it the other day. I was able to play Child in Time by Deep Purple the other day. And I swear, while it's playing in here, I shed a tear in that I had that same conversation with a program director several years ago at a different station. It was in the format.
Yeah.
And had that same conversation. And I thought to myself, well, this is the way radio has always been supposed to be.
Right.
And I think I said that right.
Right.
But yeah, so thank you for doing that. So were you aware of the possibility or even the likelihood of failure? Because I had mentioned this to Monica yesterday, with few exceptions like KLOS, K-Rock, K-Earth, which are all corporate supported, other radio startups usually succeed with that certain format for less than 3 years. We're going on 10.
Mm-hmm.
So were you aware, keenly aware, that there might be failure?
No, I think it was naivety. But no, okay. I was 22 when I first started looking into launching the station, and 23 when it launched, and everything had gone pretty well in my life up to that point. So I don't think I was aware, I wasn't cognizant that failure might be a possibility. I get that from my dad, who's a lifelong serial entrepreneur and never has a plan B. And I'm okay with that, because if it does fail, then you cross that bridge when it happens. I never thought, well, if this fails, I'll do this. I just thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it as well as I can. I'm going to do it better than anybody else I know, and it will be successful. And I guess it was.
Knock it out of the park, man. Home run. This is a home run. With that said, and perfect timing for this, that you've made a personal and some professional decisions recently regarding the radio station. So let's start there. What can you share with us?
Sure. So I'm making the announcement today that I am stepping down as general manager of the station. Alyssa's taking over for me as GM. And we're undergoing a big management staff change here at the station.
Okay.
That includes me phasing out of my involvement.
Okay.
So for the next few months, I'm just going to be kind of an advisor to Alyssa. And then I'm not going to be on staff anymore. I might be a board member. I might be a volunteer. But I think I have done everything I can do to grow this station and to benefit this community. I don't think there's anywhere else I can personally take it. And for several years now, I've been quietly looking for someone to replace me. And we found her in Alyssa. And I'm confident that she can grow it to its next phase of life, you know, that I probably am too burnt out to be able to do.
Right. And do you feel burnout? Is there a burnout to this?
I mean, a little bit. I think if you do anything for this amount of time, as fun as it is, you stop giving your full self to it and you stop reinventing it in the way that it needs to. And I think that's why organizations constantly need to change and evolve. You know, I can't come up with any more ideas than I've already come up with, to be honest. But other minds can. And I think your priorities change a heck of a lot when you have a kid, you know. And so we had Lily almost 2 years ago. She's almost two. And that's taken my time away from here for the better a lot. And I've been okay with that and accepting of that and realizing that, you know, when your priorities start to change like that, maybe it's time that somebody else run the ship.
How did having Lily change your personal clock?
Like my time?
Your feel for the need to spend time at home and with family, and that personal clock changed when Lily was born.
Yeah, you don't realize it. I mean, I always think about what kind of worker I was in my early 20s. And I never stopped. You know, I was checking emails at 10 o'clock at night. And the second I woke up and my inbox was always clear, much like Alyssa is now.
Right.
You know,
right. You chose the perfect individual for this. Really did.
I was once like that and I was really good at it and I prided myself on it. And then I stopped caring as much what other people wanted of me. Which is really what responding to an email or a phone call is.
Right.
And I started caring more about, you know, fulfilling myself and my daughter with our time together. So, yeah, it definitely changes your priorities. And I think also I tell people who are on the fence about having kids about this, which I can't even imagine being on the fence about it. But they are, because they think they have a definition of what life has to offer. They're like, we want to travel, we want to do this, we want our free time. They think that's the best thing that there is in life.
Right.
And I try to tell them, well, you only know what you know. You don't know that it's not the best thing in life. You don't know that there's something that's better.
Right.
And you'll never know unless you have a kid.
Right, exactly. Exactly. There's nothing like that first laugh in the morning. There's nothing like just being alone in the house and having that moment of playing with them, of just that moment together. There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years, what have you learned about yourself and what have you learned about this community? And I know the change in you. What about the change in the community?
Yeah, the community was already changing a bit when we came into the town. And I think that change has really cemented over the past 9 years. You know, I've been proud that the radio station can help lead conversations and participate in really tough discussions about what's going on in this town. And partisan national politics aside, there's a huge divide in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, there is.
I would call it, you know, the preservationist versus the progressive. Not progressive in the liberal sense, but welcoming change and wanting Laguna Beach to be the old antique art colony.
Moving forward.
Yeah. There's some people who are in the middle of that, but it's rare. I think it's more common to be on one extreme or the other. So we've witnessed that. We've witnessed that change occur over the years, and we've been part of it more and more. We've led city council candidate forums. We've participated in marches. We do all sorts of political coverage and interviews. And you know, I've become really ingrained in it because of that, because of the radio station's involvement. And I think we're trying desperately to hold on to our arts colony designation. And I've always said when we launched the radio station, you know, music is part of our arts. It should be part of our arts. We're not just mixed media, you know, landscape artists or whatever. We're musicians too. We have a really strong local music scene, and that's why we did the concerts and why we thought Laguna would be the perfect place for those concerts, because that's part of being an arts colony. We're struggling to hold on to that in some ways. We're struggling to not just be, you know, a place to come hike and go to the beach, you know, a place to really elevate yourself culturally and artistically. And I think that's going to be the telling part of the next 10 years is how do we reinvent a little bit our art offerings to make sure that that is still relevant.
So if not now or in the next couple of years, do you see yourself eventually holding some kind of public office or running for public office or wanting to make change that way?
I go back and forth on it all the time. I definitely think I'd be good at it. I just know how much time it takes as basically a volunteer that all of our city council people endure. And I am not a thick-skinned person. I really am not. I can't take much. And they endure a heck of a lot. Yeah, it's very hard to sit up there and please everybody. And people don't care about your feelings when you're in a public office. They'll come after you. They'll come after you in every way imaginable. Yeah. And I know people have their opinions about Peter Blake. But if I had to endure the sorts of stuff he's had to endure, you know, they tried to put him on the no-fly list, for example. There's no way I could.
Right.
So that's where I go back and forth on that.
Okay. We got to thicken your skin a little bit.
If I'm going to survive that sort of career, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned the concerts that KXFM has put on in the last year. Do you have a favorite concert that you put on?
Well, it's got to be the Beach Boys. You know, I'll never forget that one. So the first year that we came into town, I guess the year after, 2013, I went in front of what's called the Irvine Bowl Policy Committee, who makes decisions of whether events are allowed in Irvine Bowl, which is where the Pageant of the Masters is held. And I said to them, you know, we'd like to put on a concert. We're a nonprofit. That's allowed. I know it hasn't been done in 10 years. However, we'll adhere to the decibel level. We'll appease the neighbors. Like, let us put on a concert. We had at that year, we had Colin Hay from Minute Work.
Okay.
That was our first show. And the city manager was like, nah. And he goes, we, you know, someday, but nah. And I said, well, if you're not going to take that chance with us, then when are you going to take that chance? At some point, you have to make that step to someday. And he was like, well, that's a very astute question, young man. I remember like it was yesterday. I was 23. You know, John was like, who is this kid? And he was like, you know, just stuck to his guns on someday. The next year, I went to them again. And I said, all right, we'd like to plan a concert this year. And they were like, we said, nah. And I said, but I've got the Beach Boys. And they were like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. So that got approved. Right. And it was because of that band. I very few other bands that they would have said yes to, I think. So I remember that very fondly. I got to meet and form a relationship with Mike Love, who called me for a couple years after just to say, hey. He doesn't call me anymore, but he did for a while. And that kind of broke open the doors of using that venue more, which still is underutilized, but you know, hopefully that'll change.
Right. Well, what a great first score, and what a great political move, actually, that to present the argument that way. Well, if not now, then when?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
And John and I have formed a much closer, friendlier relationship over the years. We were a little bit at odds in the beginning, especially when people would call his office on April Fool's Day and say the radio station's saying some crazy stuff is happening. And he'd call me, you know, by noon and be like, Tyler, please take this off the air. We did a variety of insane things. But yeah, we're good friends now. He's on his way out too, interestingly.
Yeah, in June. As you consider these last 9 years and what you're just talking about here, is there anything that you would have changed or done differently in how you structured the station moving?
There's times I think I could have done more for our staff and our volunteers. I think people give a lot of their time and energy and sometimes money to this station for very little in return. And I think it's really important that they always receive gratitude and thanks and parties and all sorts of things to thank them for their dedication. I think there's times I probably could have done a better job of that. That's something I'll pass on to Alyssa. But otherwise, I don't really live with any regrets with how the station has gone. It took a long time for the exact right people to be here, and I think we're finally there. I've definitely learned over the years that it's more important that you have a extremely loyal, dedicated, confident group of people than perhaps like, you know, the most talented one off the street.
Right.
We do still have some of those, I will say, but you know, some volunteers have been with us the entire time.
Right.
And you know, I mean, I can't, who does anything for 10 years.
Right.
And I'm just really grateful to them. And I definitely want to hope that that's shown to them going forward.
Well, I should pass this along to you that I've been interviewing recently volunteers on a weekly basis, and in having spoken to most of them trying to get that together, they none of them feel that you have done less than you could have for them. So everybody's feeling pretty good about that. I'll say something before we head out, but just a general, anything you want to say before we go to the community?
Well, first, let me just fill everybody in. I know if you've listened this long, but let me fill everybody in on everything else that's going on aside from just my stepping down. There's going to be a press release later today that kind of outlines the whole thing. So as mentioned, Alyssa's taking over as general manager. You know, I should say, of course, I met my wife at this radio station, had a kid as a result of this radio station. And my wife, Monica, is also stepping down. And part of what's important to us to convey is that we don't want the station to be viewed as a family run business.
Right.
We want it to be viewed as a important and leading arts organization in Laguna. That's not just dictated by one family's opinion or one family's money. It needs to be supported by the entire community. So it was important for us to both kind of step away because of that. And so she's only been working part time since COVID and since the baby anyway. But she's stepping down. And Erica, who started as an intern here and has been doing administrative work for us for a year or so, is becoming the new music director, taking over Alyssa's position. And we're bringing on a new person who this community may know. She just moved back to town. Her name is Jane Herring. She's a nonprofit expert who is very socially aware and socially conscious and has a degree in humanitarian studies, very rare degree that's hard to get. And she's excellent. I witnessed her plan a wedding this past weekend. I was like, you can do this job. So she's coming on board.
I had a 45-minute conversation with her yesterday.
Nice.
She is amazing.
Awesome.
She is amazing.
Yeah, she was one of our KX Takeover hosts. You might know her. She's a mom of two in town. She's taking over Monica's former role as development director. So Ed now has three female coworkers, woman power, and Ed.
Yes.
And then Ed is doing more hours during the day,
which I love.
Ed's doing mornings and middays, which is my old shift. So Ed will be on. You want more Ed? You got him. Ed'll be on from 7 a.m. to noon.
Yes, 7 to noon.
And then Alyssa's going to take over her afternoon show from 12 to 4. And then we're launching some new volunteer shows or moving some around that will now begin at 4 p.m. So instead of 5, our volunteer programming starts at 4. That's my dying act to make all those changes, to bring on our new super team of women, and to leave the station in very capable hands.
And I believe you've done that. I wanted to briefly touch on, and I kind of stayed away from this question because every time I bring her up, you get a little watery-eyed, but tell me about Monica and the contribution to the success of the radio station and to your life?
I was trying to put this into words yesterday because we're trying to summarize it in a press release, which is why it's taken so long to write this thing. It's really hard. She turned the station from a place that plays cool music and has good shows into a place that is invaluable to the community. And the second she came aboard, she started saying, well, why aren't we doing this with the schools? Why aren't we doing this with the city? Why aren't we doing this with the Boys and Girls Club? And I was like, we don't need to do any of that stuff. And she was like, yes, we do. You know, so that wasn't me that made sure we were everywhere and giving. You know, I was looking at the budget. So I was like, well, they're not going to give us any money. Why would we? And she very strategically and very smartly gave our time to everybody, which ultimately in turn eventually made us actual dollars one way or another. It's very hard to sell an independent radio station. And she so strategically, without even my input, never sold it. She like gave it away. And that led to money.
Right.
It's brilliant looking back on it. And she really, she found a way to get us involved with kids in a way that I never would. She's a mom. She studied child adolescent development. She had kids in the school district when she took over. And radio camp was something that her and I launched together. And that's one of my favorite things we've ever done here.
It's a blast.
For a while, I thought maybe that would be my next future, and it still might be, teaching younger people the art of broadcasting because of how fun it was. So just being involved in the community, the educational community and the kids community, I think was a huge contribution. And yeah, of course, you know, I met her here and fell in love with my wife here. And if it weren't for her, I wouldn't have my baby. So yeah, of course I think about that all extremely fondly. I'm gonna miss going to work with her every day.
Right. That's well put.
Yeah.
Well put. And aside from going to work with her every day, what else are you gonna miss? On air? Are you gonna miss being on air?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing next. Probably a good time to say that. I'm launching a podcast network. And it's called Snippet. It's all shorter shows, like 20 minutes or less, that are more targeted to a national or global audience rather than just the Laguna community. Right. I'm having a lot of fun with it because I'm doing some stuff I've never done before. We're doing a old 1940s style radio play, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm launching some talk shows that maybe I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do on this station, or at least hadn't yet. We're doing a show about coming out of the closet if you're gay or transgender or any other kind of secret you have. We're doing a show with Slim Jim Phantom of the Stray Cats about rockabilly's history and about his encounters with various celebrities along his musical career. And I'm taking the time. There's a huge difference between live radio and podcast because I'm taking the time to painstakingly edit these shows and produce them in a way that I never did live. So it's the same thing, but a different medium. And I'm personally going to host some of them. So anyway, in the next month or so, we should start rolling out some new shows as part of this podcast network. So I'm still in the business.
Right.
I'm just moving to that space as kind of a fresh take on different kinds of shows that I've never worked on before.
Right. And when you told me about this several weeks ago, I had wrote down some ideas that I thought might work. None of them include me, by the way. So that's why I think they'll be successful. But more than just the thing I said to open this entire conversation, this community has for the last 9 years considered you a friend. It's with that thought in mind, and on behalf of a most grateful community who 10 years ago, we couldn't even get a radio signal in this place. We were isolated from the rest of the world. I'm going to send you off with a song. And I know that you, like you're watching The Sopranos in its entirety now, you watched The Office in its entirety.
You did.
And there's a scene in the very last episode where everyone in the office gathers together for one last time, and Creed Bratton sings a song. So I'm going to play that for you on the way out, and then we can come back afterwards if you like. We've been speaking with Tyler Russell, founder of KXFM, and we send you our thanks, man, on behalf of the entire community. Here, listen to this.
I saw a friend today, it had been a while, and we forgot each other's names. But it didn't matter, 'cause deep inside the feeling still remained the same. We talked of knowing one before you've met, and how you feel more than you see, and other worlds that lie in spaces in between, and angels we can see, and all the faces that I know have that same familiar glow. I think I must have known them somewhere once before, all the faces that I know. And when my mind's involved on my private little screen, and I'm walking blind through a sea of unknown men, I hear a voice reminding there across the street walks an old forgotten friend. And we don't have to say a word, it's really better left unsaid. Just light through eyes that recognize all the faces that I know, all the faces that I know, all the faces that I know. We ba do pa 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 do do da ba da da.
Tyler has asked me to pass along his thanks to everyone that listened to him this morning. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.